What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Sam and Mike across the way, Bogus, for your updates. Hour number two, we thank you for being with us here on this Wednesday morning. Sirius and XM 206, that app as well, and all of our great affiliates across the country, Taz, as we spent the majority of hour number one talking about Antonio Brown and the latest allegations against him, and that being a civil lawsuit. And we'll see Bill Belichick address the media later on this morning. We closed out the hour low BCS, and if you missed that, we give you a bench cut start. Week one, Paddock City, gave you three teams, the Browns, the Steelers, the Colts. A little bench cut start. Hop online, social media, at Taz and the Moose. Give us your BCS. We gave you ours. Who should you be most panicked about? A little BCS style, Taz. As we kick off this out, we don't spend a lot of time talking about baseball. We don't here, on the network, on the whole, on our morning show. We do, you know, we talk about when it's certainly relevant. And some interesting storylines going on in Major League Baseball right now. Number one, as we wind down the, you know, we're under 20 games to go in the MLB regular season. Number one is the devastating news to the Milwaukee Brewers. As last night, Christian Yelich fouled the ball off of his right kneecap, right knee, fractured that kneecap for the Milwaukee Brewers, is obviously done for the year. The reigning NL MVP, he was right there in terms of winning back-to-back MVPs, Bellinger, Alonso, Rendon with the Washington Nationals, all making legitimate cases for being MVP of the National League. So devastating news for the Milwaukee Brewers as they are in the hunt for the second wild card spot in the National League. But brutal news because you never want to see young stars go out of the game. And you never want to see teams that have the opportunity to make the playoffs losing their best player.
Yeah, felt horrible for this guy, man. He's just a great player, like you laid out. No matter if you like the Brewers or not, just this guy is just a tremendous baseball player. He's just fun to watch play the game. And, just the way he hits the ball and steals bases. Just
it's unbelievable.
He's just amazing. And and he's not like a big jacked up guy. He's a guy that his hands are so quick, his wrist, the power that he has in his forearms and his hips, his technique to drive baseballs out of the park for a guy who's not a big, heavy, strong, powerful guy is super impressive. But this fractured to his kneecap. It's just horrible. I can only imagine. I've had knee injuries, never a kneecap. I can only imagine the pain that he must have been in. And for them to lose him, you know, for the whole year, just the rest of the year, I should say, going to the postseason, everything really sucks. And manager Craig Counsell said that Yelich was crushed, as you can imagine, by the news that the season's over. And so, you know, stinks for him, but he'll come back stronger than ever. He's just a great athlete, great player.
Yeah, you mentioned Counsell. Let's hear from him. Here is the manager of the Brewers talking about the Yelich injury.
We have to move forward, and we feel awful for Christian. That's the thing that kind of resonates with me right now. He's a special player, and it's a joy to watch him play every day.
Yeah, and we'll see, and there's no doubt. And he's a great young star. And for Major League Baseball, it's a loss for them as well on the whole, because you want to see your stars on the field, especially when you have a guy that's as dynamic and as good as this. The second storyline is, how about the Los Angeles Dodgers? You know, with a victory down in Baltimore, right? Victorious, and they win their seventh straight National League West crown, which is a remarkable accomplishment. Now, Taz, they're getting into Buffalo Bills territory in terms of not being able to close the deal. They've been to back-to-back World Series. They fell short against the Astros. They fell short, as we saw last year, against the Boston Red Sox. They are the favorite now going into the postseason. They've been a front runner in the National League really all season long to get themselves to another Fall Classic and representing the National League. They're clearly the favorite going into the National League playoffs. Yeah, they got to win it. It's a remarkable accomplishment, and it really is. I'm not taking anything away from what the Dodgers have been able to do. The consistency in the regular season, doing it with Dave Roberts and everything like that, fantastic, great.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Taz, they got to win a World Series. Because if they don't win a World Series, they're going to be viewed very, very much like your team, the Buffalo Bills, a team that was good, really good.
Real good.
But just was not good enough to win that championship.
Yeah, I know.
And that's a lot of pressure.
Tough, man.
That's a lot of pressure because they're not getting younger. They're getting older.
They are. They're still good as hell, man. The best in the West, as they say, right? And they really are, man. I mean, they're fun to watch. I'm a big Met fan, as you know, but I enjoy watching the Dodgers. I do. I mean, I've always enjoyed watching them, unless they're playing the Mets. I don't want to sit here and say I'm a Dodger fan, but I'm not a Dodger hater. And I'd like to see them, you know, win one. I would. And hopefully this year it happens, you know. But, I mean, it's got to happen eventually. Well, I shouldn't say that. It doesn't have to happen eventually, right? That's the point of what we're talking about. I mean, you know, look, 94-52. 94-52, you know, they just dominate, you know. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it looks like they got to go straight forward. Well, ahead. They're going to play your Yankees in the World Series.
But let me ask you this, Taz. Do you think that's fair?
Comparing to the Bills?
No, not the comparison of the Bills. Where do you think it's fair where you judge a team ultimately? Because this has been successful. You know, there's no doubt Chavez Ravine is packed. People are watching it. Yeah. You're seeing people represent the Dodger colors more now than you have in quite some time. It's a remarkable run of regular season success. But if they don't win a World Series, ultimately, as people unfortunately look at the Bills, and I look at that run for the Bills as being successful. I know they didn't ultimately win the Super Bowl, but I think it's near impossible to go to four straight Super Bowls.
I
really do. I think that's an amazing accomplishment. But a lot of people look at the Buffalo Bills ultimately as a failure because they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Well, that's my question to you, Taz, is this. If the Dodgers don't win a World Series, do you look at this run as being a failure?
No. No, because this, especially with baseball, there's so many games. I mean, so many games. And for them to, the great players they have in this team, from Seager to Muncy and Turner, you know, they have a great team. And they win for a reason. I mean, Bellinger it's a stud. I mean, they I like Robbins as their skipper, obviously, but I don't look at it at all as a failure if you don't win the World Series. Just to get that deep to the deepest part of the baseball season to go to the World Series and do it several times. I mean,
it's a remarkable accomplishment. Really, but Taz, if you were on that team and you were starting second base, whatever it might be, starting second base,
I'd probably be a starting, probably a right fielder.
Okay, starting right fielder, cannon for an arm.
Big
20 years from now, you're sitting at home on a lounger, you know, reminiscing, talking about your baseball days, and you know, you have your jersey hanging up in your den
over the fireplace,
you know, whatever it might be.
Number
and
51.
People are like, oh, you were on the Dodgers, oh, you were on those teams in a great run.
Yes, I was.
Would you look at it as being, I'm not saying it's a failure, but I think it would be if you never win the big game. I think it's successful, but ultimately I think it's disappointing.
Yeah, I would think in the
moment, would haunt me as a competitor that I never was able to win that World Series. It would haunt me a little bit.
Mm.
I think it would bother me a little bit that our teams were able to have great regular season success. You mentioned the Dodgers' record this year; it's off the charts. They're right there with the Astros and the Yankees, you know, battling for best. I mean, it's all right there. Well, but if I don't win the World Series, Taz,
and I had all that success in the regular season, I'd be disappointed. If I'm Clayton Kershaw and I've had all this great success, but I was never able to raise that trophy and celebrate ultimately with the champagne and everything, I'd look at that as being a disappointment.
I understand what you're saying. I think a lot of people would agree with you. I'll give you a quick example. Like, and maybe it's a bad example. You might think it's a good example. I don't know. I'll see what you think, your opinion. So, like, okay, obviously in the wrestling industry and in professional wrestling and sports entertainment, the WWE Championship is the penultimate. It's the end all be all. You know, you go get into the wrestling business. Most guys want to be end up trying to become the WWE champion.
Okay.
Okay. Now they have two titles. They have the Universal title and the WWE title. But still, you want to win the major heavyweight title in WWE. And I never did that. Okay. I've had a lot of championships, but I never had the WWE title. So I've had people ask me, do you feel like your career wasn't whole because you never did that? And they brought me in like I was on the way to do that maybe and, you know, all this stuff. And then it rapidly didn't happen for me. I don't feel like, and I know a lot of guys in the same position as me, and they don't feel like they failed. And I know it's different. It's a show. It's entertainment. But it's still the company putting money behind you.
No, true.
Believing in you, you know?
Can the WWE make up for that by, you know, whether it be merchandise, whether it be contract, can they cover that up, that disappointment based on the money that you make? Or,
oh, yeah. No, fine. The money's
No. I'm not saying that. But my point being, Taz, is that, yes, ultimately, you didn't win the WWE Championship. But, you know, it's a little bit different because
it is a little different.
There is a little bit different because, you know, the matches are predetermined.
It's
all predetermined. The path of different individuals is determined by those of others.
But it changes. There is a path, a story arc, not to get too deep in the woods here. But what happens is as you're on that climb to the path that they have scripted, to use that word, which I don't like
sometimes
to use that word.
Sometimes it can change.
It changes depending on reaction from the audience to you, depending on each match you're having on that climb, and next thing you know, left turn Jones.
Okay, right.
That's what could happen. But it does happen a lot.
And that happens a lot, but ultimately you're not the one that decides that.
Well, your performance, if you screw up,
but if you're
it can, you know?
Okay, but I get
your point. My
point being, Taz, is if I go to the mound, and I'm a starting pitcher, it's on me to perform.
Right. Pressure's on you.
Yeah. And you're right. The pressure's on you as a wrestler when you step into that ring that you have to perform. But you could perform your damnedest.
Right.
And it could be decided by someone else that we want to give someone else a push.
That happened to me.
Right. So you get the point that I'm making.
I lived it. Yeah.
Is that you did nothing wrong.
No, correct.
You did your job.
Right.
But in baseball or in football, if I don't do my job, ultimately I'm going to fail. But it's going to be on me. If I'm a quarterback, I go into a game, I throw three interceptions, my team's going to lose.
It's on you. Yeah, yeah.
If I strike out three times with runners in scoring position, game seven of the World Series, my team loses, I'm going to take a fair amount of the blame and the ribbing for ultimately failing in those spots.
Right.
It is on me, but it's not determined by somebody else that I'm stepping into that batter's box and you're going to strike out.
Right, correct. But now, and you're right, now in the wrestling, and real quick just to button that up, the wrestling part of it, the thing is, there are guys like me who did nothing wrong on the way up to try to get the WWE title, and they just decided that to the point you're making.
Yeah.
So that's why I have no regrets, right?
Yeah, I did my job. Yeah.
But I do know guys, without naming names, that it was in the cards for them to go climb and get that major title.
And they messed up.
Either they messed up off the out of the ring, in the locker room, or in the ring, or just didn't have the cardio, didn't connect to the people. Dude, I know, just to toot my own horn for a second, when I was in WWE, when I first came in, The Rock's merchandise was number one in the company. Number two was me.
There you go.
And I couldn't sniff the main event. Like, it took, like, the closest I got was like a semi-main on house shows, on live events. And my merch, so I was doing something right.
Right.
My merch was selling.
Well, you connected with the audience. People loved you. They liked the style and fashion which you wrestled.
Like,
yeah,
everybody loved me here. They loved me there. People love me.
But the point ultimately, though, Taz, you might not feel, I'm sure there are other wrestlers, though, that if I asked them and gave them a little bit of truth serum, that, you know,
bitterness, regret?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I'm sure there are. And just like I would look at it, Taz, if I'm a Dodger, now they go into it realizing, you know, the window's not going to remain open forever.
Right.
They've won seven straight NL West crowns. They've been in the spot to win. They've had postseason failures, as we've seen in the past. They've gotten to the Fall Classic on back-to-back occasions. You know, if you're Clayton Kershaw, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, the last thing you need to do, you've won Cy Young's, the last thing you need to do is be part of a championship team. And if you don't, you look down, you'll get all the individual accolades, you'll look up at the mantle, you'll see the Cy Young's, you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, you get all those things. He's a generational pitcher, Taz, but he's yet to win a World Series.
I know.
I would think if I were Kershaw, I'd be a little bit disappointed that I was never able to win the Fall Classic.
I know, maybe I'm being short-sighted. I think you might be right. I mean, but it would stink for a guy like him because he's had such a successful career and he's such a great pitcher and player and all this jazz. And so many guys in that Dodger squad. It just, there's a litany of tremendous guys. Hence why they win so much, but they can't seal a deal. Hopefully that happens for them. I mean, I'm thinking, how would you feel, it's kind of a side topic, if I bought a Dodger hat and started wearing a Dodger hat?
No, stop. You're a Met fan.
But is that bad if I'm wearing just a Dodger hat?
No.
I love the hat, and I like the Dodgers. Is it bad?
No. I had a Dodger hat growing up.
Did you? But you weren't a Dodger fan.
I was not a Dodger fan.
Not a Brooklyn Dodger hat, LA Dodger hat.
I did have an old school Brooklyn Dodger hat, and I had an LA Dodger hat.
So you're okay if I wear...
Now, this was when I was 13, 14 years of age, when I used to wear hats almost every day.
Right.
But
you still establish here you won't now because of the beautiful hair.
I had an old school, I think it was an old school Cleveland Indians hat with the C.
With the C. I meant with the Chief on that.
The Chief Wahoo? Not with Chief Wahoo. I had one with the C on
it.
That. I thought that was kind of classic.
Was that the block C or was it like that kind of...
Curve C.
Curve C. Yeah.
It was the curve
That's
C.
That's cool. That's old
so
school.
I had that. I had a Yankee hat. I had a Dodger hat.
Okay, but you always...
I did have a Pirate hat at one point in time. They all went away.
Really? So, but you were a kid. I'm a grown-ass man.
I like the simple... I understand.
Yeah, I like the simple, clean hats, too. But I'm a grown-ass man. If I'm walking around as a Met... You're not going to say, oh, wow, Taz has got a Dodger hat.
He's not
a Met fan anymore?
We'll get into the drama of the Mets.
I'm trying to avoid it.
I know. You're
talking about hats.
Go buy a Dodger hat. Then you hop on board.
No, I like the Dodger. I love the hat. And
the uniform's classic.
Listen, bro.
It's a great uni.
Absolutely. I love the uniform. Love it. Red number Jones.
Oh, great.
I've talked about it here many times. That's one stadium I haven't been to that I would love to go watch.
Chavez Ravine is the prettiest place I've ever watched a baseball game.
My son, you said you were there, right?
I was there, yeah.
My son was there for a World Series game. Okay,
I wasn't there for a World Series game. And he sticks it in my face on a
regular basis. But he said the same thing. Now, he's been to Yankee Stadium a whole bunch and Citi Field when he was young, Shea Stadium. And he said, to your point, Dodger Stadium, the best.
Yeah, I've not been to every ballpark, in Major League Baseball, but I don't think with the mountains in the background,
it's beautiful.
You walk down into the stadium.
Yeah.
It's in that. It is as beautiful a spot as you'll see when the sun's setting. It's gorgeous.
Wrigley. I've been to Wrigley for
Wrigley
a day.
Wrigley, I've
game.
Been to too.
It's nice. That's nice.
Wrigley's nice too.
A lot of drinking in the outfield before the game.
No Those doubt.
Pubs yes. over there.
Wrigley's not. Yeah, I've been to Yankee Stadium, Shea City, Old Yankee Stadium,
New Yankee Stadium,
Fenway.
Yeah, I've never been to Fenway. I've been
Camden.
Near it. I've never been.
Fenway's. You'd like Fenway.
I've never been to. Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, you just feel the history. You know, when you step into a ballpark,
that's how Wrigley was.
Yeah, feel the history of the sport. Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium. I got to go.
I've been to a lot of the newer ones.
You know, there was no atmosphere at all.
Old Cincinnati.
I've never been. We used to wrestle right next to it, but that doesn't count. The Twins. What's that? Metrodome Jones? Right? Where they used to play in the Dome?
Well, the Metrodome, yeah. They used to play in the Metrodome.
Sucked. No atmosphere.
No atmosphere.
Oh, it's horrible.
Terrible?
Yeah.
Sky
I did a little BP. I did a little BP there,
Did you really?
Yeah.
What about Toronto?
Yeah.
WWE,
that's right. I've been to Toronto, but not... I was in a... they had this big luxury box for us. So it was a bunch of us hanging out there. So it's different when you're in a box gimmick. It's not the
you're
same.
Getting wind and
they
dying.
Were traveling... Right. They were putting us on a bus, bringing us here. We were like show animals. look at those crazy wrestlers. Look at those guys.
Right.
That guy's got a mohawk. He's got a tattoo on his face. It's funny. Yeah. I just want to watch the ball game.
That's funny. That is funny. We'll get into the drama surrounding the Mets and their one of their aces, Noah Syndergaard. The Mets are just three games out of that second wild card spot. Chicago, the Cubs losing earlier this morning. Game went final to the Padres in extra innings, 9-8 the final there. But the Mets just three games out of that second wild card spot. But drama reigns supreme. We'll get into the Syndergaard debate. We'll do that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, wow.
That's right. 855-212-4227. Your number to call on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll get into the drama surrounding the Mets here momentarily. Bogus is in the house. What's up, Andrew?
Mets are dramatic.
Yes.
News to me.
Yes.
Never ends.
Yes. Never ends.
Here's your report sponsored by Progressive. Progressive Insurance, protecting commercial vehicles and offering specialized coverages designed to protect your business. More ProgressiveCommercial.com. Today, still scheduled to be Antonio Brown's first practice with the Patriots. Before stepping on the field for the first time, Brown brings the organization his most serious distraction yet. Brown's former trainer filed a sexual assault civil lawsuit yesterday in South Florida. Brittany Taylor says Brown attacked her twice in 2017, once in 2018. Brown's camp counters that Taylor has been looking for money from the receiver for a long time now. Any encounters between them were consensual. The Patriots issued a statement to say they will not comment in depth while the NFL investigates. Eagles D tackle Malik Jackson's now on injured reserve, likely done for the year with a foot injury. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin is, quote, optimistic that Juju Smith-Schuster plays Sunday despite his toe injury from week one. And Vikings corner Mackenzie Alexander reportedly avoiding surgery for Sunday's dislocated elbow. His return date remains unclear. The Cubs opened the door for those chasing them for the second NL wildcard last night.
8-8, bottom of the 10th. Here is Cishek. Inside ball four. This ball game belongs to my San Diego Padres. On the score, Reyes just touched home plate. It's official. It's a 9-8 ball game. How about them boys?
Do not mock the great Ted Leitner on Padres radio. The Cubs falling in San Diego.
I'm calling you great. Everybody's saying the great Andrew Bogus, the great Taz, the great Mark Melusis. Why do we got to call everybody else great? Why no one's calling us great?
First of all, I'm sure people call you in particular great.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fit in with you guys. But I'm just saying, like, Mikey B with his basketball drives, the great Mikey B. No one's giving any of us here credit with being great. Why do we got to say good? Got to always say, I'm sick of the overstatements, Andrew. Why do you got to say guy's great? All these play-by-play guys.
Because I think he's great. I'm entertained by him.
No, he's not great.
Did the Chargers for a long time. All right. Still does the Padres. I think he's great.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. Okay.
His Padres beat the Cubs 9-8 and 10. Steve,
but what do you got a show prep for the other show? You want to move on? Is that what you're doing here? Because you're starting to aggravate me now.
You gave up because I said I think he's great. You're like, okay. You seem to give up the fight.
I'm trying to stay calm. That's right, because you just got me aggravated. When are you going on Mikey B's podcast? I know that's a new thing now. All the update guys are on his podcast.
That's a good question.
Jerry Recco's on the podcast. How'd that go?
It went well.
Oh,
sure.
Good.
Jerry's a good guy.
Talking about food delivery.
We did.
Mm. Nice. Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I might be perturbed that a number of guys have gone before me on this podcast.
I think Mike's just waiting to build you up.
All right.
It should be good.
I don't know.
You guys are Mets fans, and
maybe the 20th edition of the Mike Birsegla podcast.
We might tape it tomorrow if nobody else is available.
That's right. Yeah. I'm working on some things. You're my backup.
Right. I'm at least.
You're the backup plan. There you go.
Mikey B's great podcast.
I love
there you
it.
Go.
Basketball.
Well, only fitting.
We over members. The Kingsmen's retweeting. I love
only fitting.
It's great. By the way, I saw a. I'll get at that later on. I don't want to say it now.
Good tease.
Very nice.
Is that on the rundown? What's
good
going
tease.
On?
Yeah, that's it. It was something funny. It's something fun.
Good luck on your appearance on the Birsegla podcast.
You don't mean that.
I do.
Okay.
I really care about you. Go ahead. Let's go.
I might have mentioned that the Cubs lost in San Diego 9-8 and 10. The Brewers, the Phillies, and the Mets all then took advantage. Milwaukee, a 4-3 victory in Miami. They're one game back of the Cubs now for that wild card spot. But more importantly, MVP candidate Christian Yelich is done for the season with a broken right kneecap. Yelich fouled the ball off that knee in the first inning last night. The Phils held off the Braves 6-5. They're two games behind the Cubs. The Mets are three back after holding off the Diamondbacks 3-2. The Dodgers clinched the NL West for the seventh consecutive season with a 7-3 win in Baltimore, and the Rays pushed their win streak to 6, 5-3 in 11 in Texas. They remain atop the AL wildcard chase, a game and a half better than the A's, who crushed the Astros 21-7. Cleveland stays a half game behind Oakland with an 8-0 victory in Anaheim. And Team USA is on the floor right now against France, quarterfinals of the FIBA World Cup in China, and the Americans trail 27-24 midway through their second quarter. Best friends?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Wow, appreciate
job,
it. Mention the drama surrounding the Mets, and that is a story that came out from Kevin Kiernan and Joel Sherman of the New York Post on Monday, that over the course of the weekend, and as the Mets were taking on the Philadelphia Phillies, that one of their top starters, Noah Syndergaard, had conversations with their manager, Mickey Callaway, the general manager, Brody Van Wagenen, who happened to be Noah Syndergaard's former agent as well, that he wanted to be caught by somebody other than Wilson Ramos, whether it be Rene Rivera or Tomas Nido, that he wanted to have a personal catcher. If you look at the discrepancy in the numbers, he's obviously been, if you look it up, he's clearly more successful with either of those two guys. Previous start, he threw 7 shutout innings with Rene Rivera behind home plate. And his ERA, I think, is right around 2 with Tomas Nido behind home plate. His ERA is above 5 with Wilson Ramos behind home plate. He was denied. They wanted to put Ramos in the lineup for his bat. He had a 26-game hitting streak in, you know, that came to an end recently, Taz. He's been one of the Mets' best offensive players, but it led to a back and forth for the Mets where the story was not cut off in the knees. First off, Callaway came out and supported the player and denied the story. Then Van Wagenen comes out, the Mets' general manager, and basically said the story is true. It did happen. Then Syndergaard yesterday before their game against the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday afternoon comes out and says, well, we had, you know, very civil conversation. I was not, quote-unquote, livid. We had a discussion with Brody, and he's clearly with Mickey Callaway, but was not livid. Him and Wilson Ramos are A-OK, and was bothered by the story that it did come out. Number one is the idea of a personal catcher or a guy being able to come out and, at this stage, have this story come out. That's, to me, the most intriguing thing. You've seen guys in Major League Baseball. We've all seen it. If you followed the sport, there are guys, you know, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, way back when. With Greg Maddux used to love to throw to Eddie Perez. Mm. Hated throwing to Javi Lopez. You look at this Met team, though. If you're Noah Syndergaard, at that stage, with this stage, as you're trying to make a push for a wild card spot, knowing what Ramos has given for you offensively, should you really be going in and making any kind of declaration about who you should be throwing to?
The short answer is no. You should not. If you're Noah Syndergaard, you should just not be. Because as you said, and I'm going to call him Ramos because I went to high school with a kid named Ramos, spelled the same way, so I'm not saying Ramos, but I know a lot of people call him Ramos. Listen, to me, Ramos, offensively, as you just said, I mean, his hit streak just ended like 6 days ago, 6-7 days ago. And what's that, Mike? Okay, anyway, so the thing is, like, I don't know why this was able to get out publicly anyway. How does leaked this conversation with Noah and he's upset about this? It's just a bad look right now. We talk about distractions. Yeah, it's a minimal distraction, but it shouldn't be like that because you got to figure if you're Ramos, and you're up, you got to be a little upset that this guy. It's not that you got to be thin-skinned, but it's like, you know, you're Syndergaard. If you're Ramos and you have Syndergaard, a top pitcher on your team, and he's going and complaining, saying, I pitch better than these other guys. I don't want to pitch to him. I don't want him catching me. If I'm Ramos, I'm like, yo, dude, the hell's that about? You know,
yeah,
that would piss me off. You could affect me, my playing time. You know?
Yeah, Taz, I don't disagree with you. And now, you're right. I mean, the fascinating thing is, how does this story come out?
I know.
Now, Noah Syndergaard, if you paid attention, you know, across it, you know, every time he pitches poorly, he seems to have an excuse.
Yes.
The heat and humidity in Kansas City start after that when he pitched poorly. It was he didn't feel unathletic, hasn't felt right on the mound. Now he blows a 3-0 lead against the Phillies. This story comes out. There's been reportedly issues between Syndergaard and management up in with the Mets organization. Now, this story comes out, Taz. You have a meeting where it's literally, there's probably four people, maybe five, that know what's going on. Mm. That's part of that conversation. That's in that. Why would you want this story to get out? Now, from a Syndergaard perspective, it's an excuse. I didn't have my guy behind home plate. But he was clearly bothered by this story coming out. And I feel like the Mets, this story gets out to paint Syndergaard in a bad light. It's very, very strange. That's what I find to be the most fascinating. I agree with you. You should not be laying claim. You're trying to win. You have to do right by the entire team. And Ramos has earned the spot to be there offensively behind home plate. But how does this story possibly get out at this stage? That to me makes no sense.
Look, just being a conspiracy theorist, so playing detective for a second here. I mean, I would think that it's the guy who is probably the most ticked off here. I don't even think it's Syndergaard. I think, and like I said, if you're Ramos, you gotta be pissed, and maybe he got it out there just to make Noah seem like a petty little you know what.
Say you think he knew.
Ramos?
No, do you think if Noah's having a meeting with Callaway?
I think he knew.
And Van Wagner.
I know what you're saying.
You think he knew?
I do. I do think he knew. I do. I really do. You don't think? What about you? You don't think he knew? Or you think he knew?
No, I can see where he knew.
I
don't know it. But also, Taz, it also depends on when the meeting's taking place. How many guys are in the clubhouse at that stage?
Yeah.
I mean, you could make that to where nobody... You could have meetings where, you know, you have no idea what's going on.
Sure, that could happen.
Yeah. Or it could be in front of everybody. Then, you know, then it's open to anybody know. It just paints him in a really bad light.
Really bad, dude. That's it.
I mean, it just does, Taz. And I'd be really bothered if I was Syndergaard that this story did get out. But also, Taz, here's the other thing. Either you can pitch or you can pitch. And what I mean by that is... You know, if Jacob DeGrom could throw to Wilson Ramos, Noah Syndergaard could throw to
Wilson
Ramos.
Right. No, I agree. And I'm sure there's a ton of pitchers that went through a little bit earlier, you know, that have catches on their team that they'd rather pitch to. I mean, I'm sure every single team
at
every level of baseball.
Yankee pitchers, they want to throw to Jorge Posada.
Yeah. Well, that guy was an amazing player.
But he was an amazing offensive catcher. He wasn't a great defensive catcher, but there were other guys on the team at the time who were the defensive replacement Taz that they appreciate throwing to a little bit more. Yeah. Now, for the Mets, they win a game last night. Oh. The Cubs lose. The race tightens up. They're a half game behind Arizona. Milwaukee loses their best player. Philadelphia, look at the Mets. The Mets are just three games in back of the Chicago Cubs for that second wild card spot. You're alive and well, my friend.
I know.
All the Mets fans here at CBS Sports Radio. Biseglia, Bogish, Taz Bilotti, everyone and their mother.
Yeah.
You're alive and well for a playoff
Allen?
Spot. Harris Allen?
Boomer Esiason?
Boomer? Giannotti?
Giannotti?
I know. It's like Met Nation.
We have
here.
A lot of Memphis. Al Dukes? What's Al Dukes? He's ambiguous.
I don't know what Al Dukes.
I think he's indifferent. I don't think he is.
You're not a former guest.
If I had venture a guess which team he leans, I'd probably say he leans more Met.
I would think he does. Only because Boomer and Gio do. So that's what Al Dukes
Correct.
Is going to do. That's
so, probably. Taz, yes, that's... you got a shot.
I'm taking shots at everyone. A shot? He said, we got a shot. Yes. The Mets have a shot.
No, yes, I wasn't saying you're taking shots at everybody. I say you got a shot.
No, I know. We
got a shot.
We got a shot.
You got 18 games to go.
Yeah.
You're three games in back of the Cubs for that second wild card spot in the National League.
I'm cautious. I'm optimistic, but I'm cautiously optimistic, especially one of our better players, the young Pete Alonso. What happened yesterday, he almost cost us the game.
He did.
And it was, we have the sound here. Let's set it up.
So what happened was there was men on first and third, one out. Best hitter for Arizona up at the plate. Ground ball to first. Take a listen.
Marte slashes one down to Alonso, smothers it, and he'll get the out at first. And now a chance for a double play. Now to second base, and he's safe. And the inning continues. Alonso had LoCastro hung up dead to rights between first and second after getting the second out. But instead of getting him in the rundown, he threw behind the runner at third, Ahmed, and couldn't get him. And the inning thus continues.
Oh, my goodness. And this is a play that you can't practice in script. Nice play to get to the ball.
tag, and now you've got the runner at second and a rundown. Oh, my word. And that's a play you can't script and you can't work on. It's all pure baseball instincts, and Pete really didn't know what to do.
That's great.
That line was great.
Pete really didn't know what to do.
That is great by Keith.
Because the sentence right before it was, it's about having good instincts, yeah. And Pete basically doesn't have them. That's basically just saying, that's what I got.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Oh, boy, that was
Keith is
one.
Blunt and honest and open and telling you, he messed up the play. It didn't come back to haunt him.
No,
they were
lucky.
Able to get the strikeout Wilson did.
Yes, he did.
To end the game as Arizona ends up losing the game. The Mets win it, Taz. But, yeah, that was a comedy of errors by Alonso, where he snares it. He could have tagged the guy that was barely off first base because he had a hold there because he didn't know if Alonso was going to catch it.
Right.
And then touch on first base for the double play. Decides to touch first, looks towards third, has the runner caught up, but instead of throwing home, he throws to third. Runner gets back to third base, and then they throw a second guy. A guy going from first to second is safe, so the inning continues. Now you have two guys in scoring position with two out.
And we got out of there. Oh, I don't know how it happened, but I got to say, on the long and short of it, he actually made a good play. Contact off the bat, he made a good play from preventing that ball going in the outfield. It was 3-2 at the time.
Not the smoothest of fielders.
Right, no, he's not.
He really didn't know what to do.
And so the call that we played here, obviously, was the great Gary Cohen, Ron Dolling, and Keith Hernandez.
I'm S.O.Y.
Yeah, former guest of Taz and Moose, Keith Hernandez. I wouldn't mind if Hernandez was playing first base in that situation. He was the man, dude. Defensively, he was a star.
Oh, he was great.
He was great.
Him and Mattingly at the time were the two best defensive first basemen in Major League Baseball. And maybe that's a conversation.
Got to throw a Yankee in there. Got to throw a Yankee in there. Putting my Mets over. You got to throw a Yankee in there.
Well,
couldn't give me a little moment.
At the time.
No, you're not.
You could have thrown Will Clark in there.
Oh, he was the man,
Will
too.
The Thrill with the San Francisco Giants.
Great. Yeah.
But, yes, maybe Keith needs to have a conversation with Alonso.
Well, just
and then
teach
you felt bad for Pete at the time. If you hop online and watch the replay, they'll show you Alonso afterward. He's kind of nervously patting his glove and realizes he completely messed up. And you felt bad because you're alone on the island there. You have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, and you realize that it's out there for everyone to take in.
You were for SNY. You covered a match. You were for SNY. So you know what I'm going to say here. You've seen that a lot this year with Alonso making errors. Defensively and looking at that damn glove.
Yes, he does.
He's looking at that glove all the time.
All the time.
He really didn't know what to do.
You know what? You're right. He's not the smoothest of first baseman, man, but the kid can hit.
Oh, you can hit a country mile, man. No doubt about it.
We'll get back to football. Odell Beckham Jr., will he take his watch off during the course of games? It is the great debate that rages on in bars, ballrooms, classrooms, workplaces.
Ballrooms? What is this, 1940?
Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Sorry. Didn't know we were back on. My bad. All right. There you go. My bad.
My bads are out the window.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Sorry.
What's the matter?
No, I didn't know you had some business to take care of.
I did. No, that's all right.
It's all good.
What
kind of watch you have? You wearing a watch?
No. I haven't. I don't know.
You're not a watch guy, huh?
No, that's not true. I do have some watches I wear on occasion. I don't wear it on
too.
The regular. Odell Beckham Jr. with his watch, where I'm sure he made a pretty penny for, the designer. And there's been a wide range of speculation about the value of the watch, anywhere from $140,000 to, I've seen some reports say, it's worth $350,000.
That's the one right there.
But put all that aside, the NFL is going to talk to him. You can't wear a hard object. And I know people are going crazy about it. Well, it's just a watch. What's the big deal? Well, I mean, you're playing a game. What's the point of wearing a designer watch over the course during the course of the game?
Clock management.
Yeah, exactly right. and Beckham now is, I guess he's going to show a little defiance in terms of potentially continuing to wear the watch, right?
The thing is, it's going to cost him a ton of money every week. And by the way, so this is the difference, like, from my son's age to your son's age. So it's a whole different world, right? So my kid is, like, pumped. He's like, "Dad, you understand what kind of watch he's wearing?" I go, "No." And he tells me, because it's a Richard Mille. He goes, "This is top stuff, man. If I had that kind of money, I'd buy one." He's wearing a Richard Mille McLaren Flyback chronographic. That too. Okay, that's what he's wearing. It's a McLaren Flyback.
Nice.
Richard Mille is the company. And I'm actually looking at it right now, $350,000. So that's the number. And that's just some Essential Watches. And a little plug for them. If you want to go buy one, Essential Watches in Beverly Hills.
No, you have it.
A nice watch. Orange and black.
It's a beautiful watch. It is. Not denying it. But, you know, you can't be wearing it during the course of the game. And they've gotten unbelievable press from it, Taz. Whatever they paid Odell Beckham Jr., maybe it was just the watch in order for him to wear it. They've gotten unbelievable press and conversation about this timepiece. But for Beckham, here's the problem you have, Taz. It's always about something else other than football.
Yeah, well.
He has a great passion for the game. He's a great teammate. It's always about this incessant nonsense that just does not go away. And that's what drove Giant fans crazy at the end. I'm sure it's going to drive Brown fans crazy over the course of time. You know, he hasn't won enough. He hasn't been healthy enough on the football field, Taz. But it's always about something else. It's not about the focus. Now it's about him wearing a dopey watch during games.
I know. And, you know,
it's a beautiful watch.
It's gigantic, too. It's huge.
Right. There's no doubt about it, Taz. But it's not about football.
But that's no, I understand. But that's part of the thing, too. It's not a regular size watch. It is. It's very big. So I know it sounds crazy. We're talking about a guy wearing a football player wearing a watch while he's playing football. He shouldn't. It's annoying what he's doing. He shouldn't do this. It's just it's part of his brand building. He's connecting to kids that are my son's age. He's connecting to that age group, and that's why he's got, you know, so much of a strong presence on social media. And younger people in their early 20s or high school kids think he's swagged out and he's cool as hell. And he is, you know what I mean? And that's he's not marketing to the average NFL fan.
No. Nope.
He's not marketing to guys like you and I.
No. Nope.
He's not. And that I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I mean, but as you know, this pales in comparison to some of the other people, you know, that play his position, like an Antonio Brown, the headache he's been and is. But I get your point. You know, it's putting attention on himself. And I can see the NFL's point, because this thing's big, dude. It's a big watch.
Well, right,
you know?
I can understand it. I mean, they don't want the nonsense. I mean, and there is a rule prohibiting hard objects. And, you know, you want to say, well, it's just a dopey watch. That's fine. But Taz, and he wants to then claim victim. Well, if it was somebody else, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Well, that's a stupid statement by him. Well, that's dumb.
That's moronic, of course.
Yeah, it's
if an offensive lineman's wearing the watch, you're right. It'll grab attention.
Right.
It won't grab the same attention because he does not have the same Q rating,
right,
or is not nearly as popular as you are.
And you're playing your position as a receiver is an open space. Unlike, let's say, it's a D lineman or an O lineman where he's in the trenches. Listen, it's not like he's got it. I understand the watch is harder materials and it's very expensive.
I get it. It's not that big of a deal.
It's not Kevlar on his wrist.
But the NFL just doesn't want to do it. Why not just stop?
Right. Well, I get it.
Why not?
Because then, I agree with you. You're right. It's going to cost all that money. But the reason why he's not stopping, and you know this, I'm not telling you that you don't know, is because he don't want to have them win. That's why. He wants to be disgruntled.
That's fair, Taz, but they're coming off a loss.
Bad loss.
A bad loss.
Ass-whooping.
No doubt. They're taking on the Jets on Monday night. If I were one of his teammates being in that locker room, I'd be like, enough with the nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, he's wearing it on Monday night, bro.
Well, I'm sure. But if I were one of his teammates, I'd be like, enough with the nonsense. We had to deal with it, talking about the Giants all throughout the course of training camp, all these articles coming out that you did, you know, months before. Now we get our butt whooped. Kitchens is out there talking a game that his team doesn't follow up, 18 penalties. And now it's all the conversation is about you wearing this designer watch during the course of the game.
Can't wait on Monday night, Booger.
I mean, come on.
He'll be breaking it down. Well, this was his out of watch. He breaks everything down. He'll break down the mechanics of that McLaren gimmick Stabitz Furnham Burnham Millie watch, whatever it's called.
I get. Yeah. I defended Beckham all these years, Taz. I'm getting frustrated by Beckham. I've had I'm almost had enough.
I wonder what Lil Wayne would say.
He'll be on an interview with Lil Wayne or some, maybe Kendrick Lamar.
That'd be great.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We'll be joined. Bruce Gronkowski will join us next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.